From Matthew chapter 10. You can always remember Matthew chapter 10 as the chapter where Jesus sends out the 12. And you know what? I left my glasses up here, forgetting that I had to read this small print. Chapter 10 reads this way. And Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and affliction. Then he said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. For brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise up against their parents and even have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And I put the most important part of the scripture up on the screen for you to take a look at. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. I put this up there because, you know what? Jesus says, don't play the part of the fool. That's how I'm going to put this all together. Don't play the part of the fool. And you know how the old saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. How many of you think you get fooled every day? That's not rhetorical. You can raise your hand. How many of you think you get fooled every day? You know what? You may not want to admit it, but you all play the fool every day. And I know you don't want to hear that or admit it, because nobody wants to be the fool. But it happens. And my message to you today is this. You don't have to play the fool every day, but we must be humble and aware of the fact that the trickster is out there and trying to trick us. This is a generic photo, but what I want to talk about is this guy who dressed up as a clown and often entertained people on State Street in Madison while I was in college. And this guy was hilarious. And he was a lot of fun. But he pulled tricks on people. You know, he had the regular tricks, you know, the pull the rabbit out of the hat kind of thing. Kid would come along and he'd pull a coin out of the ear kind of a thing. You know, that kind of stuff. Oh, he would do all kinds of things like this. And when he pulled his tricks and he did such things, I kind of looked at the kids around and said, you know what? I wonder if this is a good thing. How many of you know David Blaine, the guy who walks the street, right, and does these tricks? He's really good. I mean, some of the tricks that he pulls, you think he's got to really be a magician, actually able to perform real magic. And in fact, they did a little survey. Do you know that 79% of those surveyed believe that David Blaine can really do magic? You realize that? They really think it's true. They don't think it's a trick. Well, anyway, there's this clown, and he's doing this stuff. And I'm watching the kids, and I'm thinking to myself, and I'm kind of a killjoy, by the way, somebody ought to stop this guy. Because some of these kids are believing that this is true. This is really magic. And so I said to this one boy, and I remember this as clear as a bell, the clown put the hat on the table, and he pulled a rabbit out. And then he put his hat back on his head. And I said to the little boy next to me, I said, look at the table. you can see that there's a hole there. The boy looked over at it, and he smiled, and he looked up at me, and he goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then he did that trick, you know, with the coin, pulled it out of a little girl's ear, and I said to the little girl lately, I said, when he does it again, watch his hand. The coin is still in the hand, even before he pulls it out of the ear. Look, it's all a trick. And the little girl looked at me kind of strangely, looked at his hand, and said, yeah, I bet you that coin is still there. And that's when the clown looked at me and said, hey, buddy, cut it out. I'm willing to bet we're not so easily tricked by a clown, but we're more easily tricked by the great trickster, who's the great con artist, who comes to dupe people just like you and me. Remember, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. We should be learning our lessons as we go through life. You know, the truth is, this is the truth. God loves you. Nobody should be tricking you on that. Nobody should be duping you on the fact that God desires all to be saved, and that includes you. God wants us to have a secure, confident faith that you belong to Him, that you are His very children. Nobody should trick you out of that. But I think the problem is the trick the great trickster uses, and that is just this. Sin doesn't really matter. Did you hear that in the epistle lesson? You know, now that we, you know, have been saved, you know, go on sinning, grace abounds, this kind of stuff. I think the world out there is looking at sin, and they're just dressing it up and making it look pretty, and they're excusing it as just a vice that everybody has, and it's really unimportant. And so the great trickster has pulled the great trick on us, that you ignore sin, and it doesn't really matter. Just look the other way. If you're not caught, who really cares? And so, you know what happens? We don't repent. And when we don't repent, we don't find the love of God. We don't discover the washing truth that Jesus loves us. That which cleanses us, makes us whole again. We rather live in what we shouldn't be living in. We've been tricked. And so the thief steals another pair of pants and falls deeper into the trouble. The alcoholic takes another drink and never gets over the fact that, hey, I can be free. Another marriage is on the rocks. And we never discover the true closeness that we can have in a marriage. The gossip wrecks another person's reputation. And so we never really get to discover how a friendship can grow and blossom into something that's really helpful. The bully beats up another person and never discovers the joy of actually lifting up another person and healing them. What's your vice? Whatever the vice is, whatever the problem, whatever the situation that you struggle with, if you don't face it and the fact that the trickster is trying to trick you, you'll never get over the mountain, the hill, whatever you want to call it, and get to that point where repentance can lead to good fruit. And the joy that can be inside each and every one of us. But there is hope. There is real hope. And there is a real answer to the situation. And Paul puts it this way. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wise and discerning. Sin leads to death. The love of Christ leads to heaven. How do you expose a cheat, a phony, a huckster? What do? You expose his tricks. You let him know that this is not the truth. And so the devil would like us to think lightly of sin, for he's the master of deception, the sleight of hand, that we would get lost in what we're doing and never know the salvation God wants for us. The trickster would have us think that we have to earn God's merit and favor, earn our place in heaven. Try as hard as we can to dig ourselves out of the hole in which we've dug for ourselves. Remember what the trickster said way back in the first, second, third chapter of Genesis. Hey, did God really say this? Is this really true? And so the first deception was just to take God's word of love and comfort to our first parents and turn it upside down. You got to earn it. God doesn't really care. He's looking for you to pull yourself up and fix the problems yourself. You see, that's the great trick. God doesn't care. He doesn't love you. He's not going to be a part of what you're going through. He's going to make you do it alone. My advice has always been to those who are struggling with a sin, go home, open up your Bible, say your prayers, and spend some time with God and your Savior. Start there and know that He cares for you and that His mercy has been laid bare on the cross just for you. And the closer you get to Christ, the more the deception is made clear. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." You see, the Son comes to expose that which is in the dark, that which is hidden, bring it into the light, and to reveal the fact that God gave His Son to die for the sins of the world, your sins and mine. To proclaim that the devil and all of his tricks has been defeated, and to proclaim that life and life eternal belongs to you in and through Him. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you're really my disciples, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Hold to His teachings and be set free. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who is a slave to sin continues in sin, and a slave has no permanent place with God. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. The truth is in Christ and what He's done for us. Don't be fooled. Everyone who sins is a slave to it, and they'll never dig themselves out of the hole that they dug for themselves. But everybody who is in Christ and experiences the truth of God's grace in Him discovers the truth and the hope of the resurrection. God desires for you to turn to the cross and know that love that is in Him, and know that the consequences of sin doesn't have to lead to death, but instead can be forgiven and can lead to eternal life. My message to you is that simple. Be aware, wise, and discerning, and humble, and aware of the fact that the trickster is out there to try to trick you in what you're struggling with right now. But the liberation the freedom that God has for us is that it doesn't have to be that way. It can all be put aside for those who have the cross of Christ within them, the forgiveness of their sins and their life everlasting. You don't have to play the part of the fool. And subsequently, here's the really good news. When you don't play the part of the fool, you make the real fool the trickster. Hey, buddy, cut it out. They don't need to know the truth. My answer to that is, you know it. You tell him to cut it out and put him in his place. One little word will fell him. Use it. Jesus. Amen.